Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're starting a series today. When the Lord placed it on my heart to start Best Life Church, He was very specific in the fact that He said, if you spend time with me, I'll show you how to do it. And so really in 2006 is when it really began to stir some things in my heart. And, you know, to be honest with you, we just really had no intentions of doing that. We were at a great church in town and having a good time, and you know. But he began to stir some things up in me, and so I purposely waited until we got done with the series on the kingdom of God to go into these core values that the Spirit of God got over to me. And when I got done, you know, my wife was telling me last night, she said, you know, when I look at the core values that God gave you, it's like they just kind of float out. And I feel like this. I mean, I know that everybody can't make every service. I understand that. It's not, you know, I'm not going to be one of these pastors that says, you have to be here. I'm not doing that. But, you know, at least get the recordings. Because I believe what we're getting ready to walk into will be, and I don't mean to upsell this, okay? Please, no, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not a hype guy, but I do know this. As we get into exploring what the Spirit of God wants us to know about the core values of what it is to be a new creation and how we're supposed to function in our lives, I really believe that what will take place is you'll begin to be transformed into thinking just like most Christians think, to realizing that this thing is a whole lot bigger than just some doctrines. And if you go on our website, you know, there is, all of our core values are listed there. They're actually, I believe, under the section of core values. Should be pretty simple to find those. But what my desire is in teaching through these things is that we'll utilize these on into the future. Because how many know God is developing a culture? It's not, and I'm so glad to be a part of a church where we're not just a bunch of church goers, but we're actually interested in the Spirit of God developing a culture in us as believers that will change a city. Amen. So there'll be things as we get into this subject that maybe hit you sideways. And if that's the case, then just don't make the mistake of turning me off. Because we'll explain some things, and if the word backs up what I'm saying, then you know, let's just make it easy and go with what the Word says. And if I'm wrong, then, you know, pray for me. You know, Lord bless him. Open his eyes and bless him. So, anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the very first core value that we're going to get into is seeing yourself in the mirror of the new creation. Now, I would just say this. Even if you think you know what I'm going to say, pretend like you're completely oblivious. Because you may hear some things that you haven't heard before. You may hear some things that you hear differently that you didn't catch. Because the Spirit of God is the teacher, not me, right? Yeah, so I love the way the Spirit of God is. I'll say one thing, and if there's 50 people in the room, they get 50 different things. Because the Spirit of God knows where everybody is all the time, at any given moment. He knows what you need. He knows the bridges you're trying to gap, you know, in your thought processes. He knows these things, and so he'll teach these things to you. And I want to do this. I want to say this. As a people, we need to be the kind of people that we value the presence of the Lord. I'm going to say it like this. We value the presence of the Lord more than we value print. Did you hear what I just said? You say, well, Dan, you know, we're supposed to be word people. Yeah, we are. But we're not supposed to be your favorite word people. We're supposed to be the word as it is revealed by the Spirit of truth. John called in his letter, 1 John, he said, he's the Spirit of truth. And so one thing you'll find, and this will be in a core value coming up later on, that, you know, we do esteem the Word of God first priority. But it's important that we esteem the Word of God first priority as it's revealed by the Spirit of truth. You understand what I mean when I say that? Because you can have, you know, what we do. We have, you know, how many different organizations that have the same book or the same print and the same binding, and every one of them says something different. So we need to esteem, and even in a local church, folks, I'm not naive to think that every person in this auditorium agrees with what I'm saying. I know that's not so. At least not on everything. Because everybody's a different process, everybody's at a different place, everybody's at a different, you know, level of, you know, what the Lord's showing them. So, the ultimate thing is we want to make sure that we value and esteem the Word of God as it's revealed by the Spirit of truth, the highest priority. Because let's just be honest, the Spirit of God is not going to reveal one thing to me and something totally different to you. Because he's not contrary. He doesn't have split personalities. You know, it may be that there are things that need to be learned. And there's things that you need to be seen. I'll tell you this. If, you know, I probably wouldn't have seen, well, I just say I didn't. I didn't see the things that I'm seeing in the Word now that I did. I didn't see these things 20 years ago. But the fact is I stayed in it. And as, you know, methodically, he taught me this, he showed me this. And he's bringing me someplace. He's bringing me someplace. See, we need to be willing to stay in the process to get where God wants to take us. You know? And I'll say this too. Look, can we just be honest about, we use that phrase, well, I'm in process. And that's fine. But sometimes people use that phrase, I'm in process, as an excuse for the time that they have not spent with the Lord to even be changing at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to, and I may get into it today, if not, we'll get to it next week. We've got to stay with Him and allow Him to change us. Allow things to flow down upon us. Allow Him to open our understanding into areas and to change our thought process in those areas. Otherwise, we're not really in process. We're really in a stall. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're only in process if you're staying hooked up with Him and He's adjusting our thought processes. Then you're in process and you're growing and you're going. But if we're not spending time with Him and allowing that interaction with Him and this to change how we're thinking and for Him to show us things. Don't rely on Pastor Dan or Pastor anybody or anybody on TV or anybody on the radio. Don't allow them to be the dude or the dudess that comes up with all the revelations so that you can eat. Give me a break. If you do that, you'll have such a screwed up theology, it'll be unbelievable. Literally. Because everybody else will be saying, people don't all say the same thing. And Holy Spirit's got you on a path to get you from point A to point Z. So if you end up over there, then you haven't been staying with Him. Because He knows exactly, the Word says He knows your end. Right? All those other things, all the other ministries, all the things, those things are awesome, and I'm so glad we have them in the body of Christ, and I'm so glad. I mean, can you imagine you being in a country where you couldn't have any of that stuff? I'm so glad that they're there. But nothing is a substitute, not even Sunday morning. I mean, maybe I'll read this quote. I read this quote from a guy. But he said, you know, we basically need to be transformed from a people that gather around a sermon on Sundays to a people that actually understand that the presence of God is in you and you do whatever you have to do to guard that treasure. And so that's really, when I look at our core values that the Spirit of God gave us as a foundation for how the culture that we're going to establish in this church and what He wants to do as a result of that in the city, in the nation, in the world. Just hang in there and sit tight and just say, you know, maybe there's some other insights I can get on this thing. Will you do that for me? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because He's going to take you to a great place. I mean, even today, it's just, if I could dance, I might. I'd probably step on your toes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 14. It says, the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, speaking of Jesus, therefore all died. And it says, He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves. That's helpful. That one.
You have to stand right there.
Whatever. Okay. Sorry for the distraction. Anyway, it says, the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and He died for all, so that they who live may no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, verse 16, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh or according to their natural man. Even though we have known Christ according to this, according to the flesh, yet we don't know Him this way any longer. Okay, now I want to show you the drastic picture I'm going to show you here. And it's important that you come on this journey with me. Okay, because I'm going to be honest with you, so much of our thought process and our understanding and the imagery that we have that we've basically hung our theology on is on the wrong platform. It's on the wrong image. Hold your place here and go to just pick a gospel. Let's go to the book of Mark. Well, no. Let's go to Matthew. This is the common picture. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and it says, and Jesus saw the crowds, and He went up on the mountain, and after He sat down, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall comfort. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. And He just goes on and on, and if you have red print, you got a bunch of it. Okay? This is the foundation most believers base their image of Jesus on. This picture right here. Is that true? But while you're still holding your, you know, Paul says, back over in 2 Corinthians, go back over there, he says, we used to know Jesus according to the flesh, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we don't know him that way anymore. Now let me ask you a question. Did Paul know Jesus? What was the Jesus that he knew? Go to Revelations. Excuse me, Revelation. I just like the name of that book, Revelation. And if you have a, you know, if you have a good Bible, it'll say Revelation of Jesus Christ. And what's the very first thing that shows up? A revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, John's on a prison island, and he is, you know, nowadays you say he's on the chain gang or whatever. And he said in verse 9, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Incidentally, if you don't know this, John got boiled in oil because they figured he'd kill him. It didn't work. You know, the emperor at the time, he used to tie Christians to the stake and, you know, basically use them as human torches because he got a kick out of the whole deal. So he figured, well, I'm going to burn John in oil. So he submerged him in boiling oil, and then he comes back up, and he's still in one piece, and he's still fine. Kind of like Daniel, and you know, he can't kill. So they put him off in this prison island. So he's over there. And one particular time, he says, you know, I was on the island because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a guy sitting on a hill. Is that what it says? Saying, blessed is the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Is that what he says?
No,
he says, it sounded like a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches. And then in verse 12, it's just kind of skipped for the sake of time, it says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man. But then look how he describes him. Clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were like white. This is the best he could describe it. And his white wool like snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze. And he says, and has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like a sound of many waters. How many know that's knowing Jesus not after the natural man? Okay, now go over to 2 Corinthians. I want you to remember that image. 2 Corinthians. Paul says, to recognize no one according to the flesh, because of the act that took place with what Jesus did. He died for all, and because he died for all died, and because he was raised, he raised everybody up. And it says, because of that event, from this point on, don't know anybody according to their natural man. We used to know Jesus like that, according to the natural man, but we don't know him that way any longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come. How many have read that verse? I read that verse for a lot of years. But have you ever, what's the old things? Has anybody ever asked that? What's the old things? I mean, if they passed away, it'd be nice, kind of nice to know what they are or what they were. The word old there literally means archaic, and it really has to do with something that existed for a long period of time in the past. Even going back to the beginning of an event. So what he's talking about here is when he just got done telling us to, from this point on, because of the event that what happened with Jesus, because he died for the entire human race, and when he died, the entire human race died in the mind of the Father, and when he was raised, the entire human race was raised up. That's over in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2. Because of that event, we're no longer to see people from a natural vantage point. And the reason that we're not supposed to is because in the mind of Daddy, because of the event, the natural order of what is a human is not the same anymore. I see all these confused looks on your face. Do you remember how we've talked about the old model and the new? The difference between the old model and the new is the new model is not being governed by their mind, their will, their emotions. At least they're not supposed to be. They're being governed by their spirit, one with his spirit, and that's how they live. Because a whole human being, you're living out of your spirit. Your mind is submitted to your spirit, and your physical body just follows along and obeys what it's told. That's living as a whole human being. So the new order of things is not a human being is this person who lives out of their mind. Their understanding is darkened, and they go off of their mind, their will, their emotions. And so from that place, I view me, and from that place, I view you. Well, what has to happen in order to really screw things up in that environment? All I got to do is screw up your thought process and screw up your emotions and plant stuff in you that hurts you, and then you'll turn around and you'll view everybody else through the same hurt that you got hurt. And what happens when that happens? Strife, division, bitterness, and everything else that follows along with that. So Paul is saying, look, we're not to know human beings after the natural man anymore, because Jesus was raised up, and when he was raised up, the entire human race was raised up with him. In other words, and what I love about these verses, and I'm going to take you someplace here, if you just hang with me. He says, the old things have passed away, the new things have come. He says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Everybody say, to himself. Okay. Now, I know the general thought process on this verse. The general thought process on this verse is this. Can you stand up? It's a good thing we don't have a camera in this place today. This is the general thought process on that verse. At one point, we were apart. And then because of what Jesus did, he reconciled us to God. That's the general thought process. Is that true? You can sit down. No, I'm sorry. So, God is, you know, we're buds now because of what Jesus did. Is that true? Yes, it is. But there's more to this than what's being the general understanding. And I really believe that if you'll see this, folks, I'm telling you, it's going to drastically, radically alter how you see people, and in turn, how you can get others to see people too. Because what he's saying here is, he's saying that the old order is gone. You remember when Jesus made this statement, he says, you judge by what you see. I don't judge by what I see. Remember that statement in the Gospels? The old order is to judge by what you see. That's why Paul says, don't know anybody after the natural man. Folks, if we can just eliminate this as a culture of believers, that we stop making judgments based on what our eyes see, what our ears hear, and what our emotions feel, we'll be light years advanced in the ability to really hone in on what our spirit is showing us, or what the Spirit's showing us, if he's showing us anything. The challenge is so much of what we do as believers, and I'm not saying, I say we as in general populace of what is a believer nowadays. So much of what we do is we live in the place of our emotions, and we convert our emotions to be our spirit. So therefore, if something hits our emotions wrong, we say, well, that really grieved my spirit. No, that hit your emotions wrong. I think part of the challenge why there's so much confusion and what is it, how do you live a life out of your spirit? Part of the confusion is we've substituted things that actually come out of our spirit for things that resident in our thought process, in our mind, will, and emotions. They can be the same, but they aren't necessarily the same. The number one way to begin to train yourself to live out of your spirit is to, like Jesus said, don't make judgments based on your eyes, your ears, whatever. It's in the book of John. I'm not even going there. Anyway, so Paul's saying, look, he's saying the old order is gone. You know, we thought that meant, well, you know, you as a non-born again person, that guy's dead. That's true. But this is going farther than that. It's a bigger statement, and it that is part of the picture. But when he says the old order's gone and the new things have come, hold your place here, and let me show you what the new thing is. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Remember that image of Jesus that you saw in Revelation? The revelation of Jesus? Keep remembering that. 1 John chapter 2. Look what John says in verse 8. Well, let's start at verse 7. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. Okay, now, hear me. The old is gone, right? What was the old commandment he's talking about? Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your will, your any strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Here's an upgrade to that. Verse 8. He said, but I'm writing a new commandment to you, which, get this, is true in him. Who's him? Jesus. Now, is it the Jesus that you saw on the hill, teaching on the mountain? It's the Jesus you saw in Revelation. He said, this what I'm getting ready to tell you is it's true in him and in you. So that tells me that there is a connection between him now, what we see in Revelation, and you. This is the new order. This is the new thing. The old is gone. I'm writing you a new commandment that it's true in him and in you, because the darkness is receiving, I'm reading you what the Greek New Testament actually says, is receiving elimination. The darkness is receiving elimination. Devil, sucks to be you. The same is true for him and you. See, there's Paul said in Colossians, your life is hidden in him. So, and I love what he goes on to say there. In fact, we'll get there in a minute. He says that at any given moment when the life of Christ is revealed through you, you need to understand that that which was revealed is also your life. You have to meditate on that for a while. So go back over to 2 Corinthians. He says, the old things have passed away, all things have come new. And he said, God reconciled to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting, everybody says not counting. Not counting their trespasses against them. Now why would he go and do something like that? Do you think that God would ask us to do something that he's not already doing? So if the Spirit of... Now let me ask you this. Did Paul just pin this himself because he had a good meal?
No.
Or was he doing this by the unction of the Spirit of God? Okay, so if he did it by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God said to know no man after the flesh, and then he turns around and says that God is not holding their trespasses against him, maybe the reason why that's true is because he's seeing all of humanity in the light of the resurrection of Jesus, not in the light of their own natural humanity.
Come on now. It's a big deal.
But the word reconcile in there, I think this is so cool. The word reconcile says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against him. The word reconcile there means to affect or to change or to exchange something. Or literally you could say like this, to affect a thorough change back to something that used to be. Let me tell you what Paul is getting over here. Because you started this whole thing out by saying to know no man after the flesh, the old is gone, the old order is gone. Judging by what your eyes see, your ears hear, those kind of things is gone. That's not the way you function as a human being now, because Jesus is resurrected, and when he was resurrected, he resurrected the entire human race with him. He made it possible for a human being to not just live as a mind, will, and emotions groping around in the dark. He made it possible for a human being to live spirit to spirit, one spirit with the Lord. We have the mind of Christ, therefore we should know what the mind is thinking. And since that's the case, there are things that he wants to show us as far as what your identity really is now that you're back in Christ. Are you following me, or am I going too fast? Understand this, folks. Have you ever noticed that if you, I don't care, you talk to any church person, and their point of origin is always Adam. As far as they're concerned, that's when it all started. Right? Is that an accurate statement? No. It's not an accurate statement because eternity doesn't have a beginning. There's no end. You know, when the Bible says in Genesis and John chapter 1, in the beginning, really what it says literally is in eternity past, there's no starting point. Okay? And what you've got to understand is, human beings, get the guy, if you don't get anything else, get this. Human beings, their identity, before it was in Adam, before it was in what they are as a natural man, before it was in everything that a natural system sowed into their thought processes and into their emotions, before any of that stuff hit a man and gave him his identity was in God. Undamaged and uncontaminated. Let me just tell you something. We got in this discussion last night, and it's funny. I was seeing all this stuff, and I was like, how many know homosexuality is wrong? Do you know why? If you listen to what I'm getting ready to say, it will give you an answer for every human being that's been influenced that direction. And it's not the answer that the religious system has taught them. Do you know why homosexuality is an abomination? I'm going to tell you why it's an abomination. Because it masks and clouds an individual's ability to see who they are in God. That's their identity. I don't care about any other stuff. I don't care about the whole moral thing. I don't care about any of that crap. It hurts God's heart to see a human being because of what the natural system from Adam forward sowed into their life and sowed into their emotions and sowed into their perspectives to turn them to a certain influence. Or I don't even care if, okay, let's go this way. You're born that way. I'm going to say yeah. Okay? But what were they born out of? Was it God or was it the system? How many have heard of people who have chemical imbalances? Did God give them that? No. What about any other elements or facets of their physical makeup that are not exactly perfect? Did God do that? No, the system did that. So whether it's something that was sown into them afterwards, what do people, from the time you're on this planet forward, what are you trying to do? You're trying to discover who you are. You're trying to discover you. I mean, even the world knows this. They're trying to discover who they are. My sister is a teacher in a high school. And she said, it's so amazing to watch these kids go through this journey of trying to discover who they are. The problem is the natural system is not qualified to tell you who you are. The only one that's qualified to tell you who you are, because he already saw you from the end, is God. Man's identity was in God before it was ever in a natural human being. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Do you really understand what I'm saying? So, this is why, you know, people give me flack, but what 2 Corinthians 5 is telling us is that we're supposed to be not only seeing ourselves, I'm kind of jumping ahead to number 2 of the core values, but I'll get to it. Not only see ourselves in line with that image. Now, let me ask you a question. What image is that? Go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, real quick. Ezekiel chapter 1. Let me ask you a question. Was this before or after Jesus came into the earth? Before. Everybody say before. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 1. Look at verse 26. We've seen this, but it's just for you. He says, Ezekiel is over in captivity. All of a sudden, he has a vision. And above the expanse there was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne and like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that which resembled a throne, high up, was a figure that the appearance of a man. And I noticed from the appearance of his loins upward something like glowing metal and something like fire all around within him. And from appearance of his loins down, I saw something like fire, and it was radiance all around him. And the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds and in the... Okay, and who is he describing here? Does this look any different than the one we saw in Revelation? Yes or no? But it was this one who said with his daddy, "Let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him rule in dominion." It was this one. Not the guy on the hill with the little sheep laying down and him. It was this one. "Let's make man in our image, after our likeness." Paul said, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we saw what he looked like in Revelation. He says, we don't know anybody, not even Jesus. In other words, you can say it like this. We need to know people. We need to see people through the same divine identity. Something you twisted up about that, what I just said. Don't go there. Don't let some new age gobbledygook crap rob the reality of what Jesus did. I'll show you next week. From this place, spending time with Daddy, he wants to continually flood your soul with who you are according to that divine image. Because that's who you really are. What Paul is basically saying is, how we know Jesus now, that's how you're supposed to know everybody else around you. Let me ask you a question. Is that what the church has done? Why? Because they're still on the old. The reason anything is wrong, I don't care whether it's gluttony, homosexuality, anything. The reason it's wrong is because it clouds and distorts the person from seeing their true divine identity. That's why. Why else do you think that the Spirit of God, through Paul, said God is not holding their sins against them? He had to, in fact, you read that, he did it in the Greek New Testament. It basically brings this out. He did it because he wanted to participate in the results of his actions. We went through that last week. That was his motivation. But then I guess you have to have an accurate understanding of how Daddy thinks to go there in your thought process. Otherwise, you'll go off on the judging as you see and judging as you hear and judging as you read natural print, and you come up with your own theology, and then through that filter, everybody gets run through it. And so then what happens in a church? We're not esteeming the Word of God as revealed by the Spirit of truth in highest esteem. We're esteeming the truth as it is to me. And we're running everybody through that filter. The problem is that system is the old system. And all it does is produce death. And we've seen what happens in groups of people when that kind of thing is going on. So you understand why the very first thing that the Spirit of God wants us to grow from is the place of see yourself in the mirror of the new creation. And I'm going to get into a little more of this next week. We're going to go into James. We're going to look at some things there. But I'm telling you, this is going to be, if this doesn't make you want to do cartwheels and we're done, we need to check pulse. Because this is the most exciting thing that if we get this, folks, you can impact a nation. And that's what I want. And I know that's what you want. Amen. Did you get anything out of this at all? Amen. Go ahead and stand up.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.